الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. In our continuation of العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمة الله عليه والشرح الشيخ بن عثيمين رحمه الله أيضا we had discussed in our last session the concept of the believer seeing Allah سبحانه وتعالى يوم القيامة. What is يوم القيامة in English? Nope. يوم القيامة is not the day of judgment.
Day of reckoning?
No.
Day of standing?
Close. It's day of standing or the day of resurrection. قيام من القبور and قيام general standing. That's the most adequate translation. يوم الدين is you can say then the day of reckoning. Not even. يوم الجudgment, you know, we use the day of judgment. But really, the terms we have in Arabic may not necessarily, you know, allude to the judgment in particular. We have يوم الحساب, the day of accountability, ويوم الدين, the day of reckoning, as in it's like a dain. يعني it's a dain, as the scholars explained it in Surah Al-Fatiha. And we have يوم القيامة, يوم البعث, the day of resurrection, يوم القيامة, the day of standing. Day of judgment is. Allahu a'lam what that would be in Arabic. Judgment, يوم القضاء ربما, يوم القضاء. But doesn't come in the Quran in this sense. على كل حال, day of judgment usually encompasses all the ones I mentioned earlier. That was a quick quiz. Yeah, that the believers will see Allah جل جلاله on that day. Now, in the hadith which we were quoting, and the hadith number was the 15th. I'm sorry, the 16th narration in this context. Waalaikum salam. Shukran, Habibi. The 16th narration in this context. We had reached the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَى صَلَاةٍ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَصَلَاةٍ قَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا فَفْعَلُوا. So if you're able to avoid being defeated by not praying the salah before the sunrise or the salah before sunset, then do so. Meaning if you're able to avoid missing these two prayers, then you should do so. As-salatu qabla tulu' al-shamsi hiya al-fajr. The salah before the sunrise is fajr, right? Wa qabla ghurubiha, and before the sunset, asr. Maghrib is at sunset. That's what's called maghrib. لأن الشمس تغرب, because the sun sets. So Asr actually is the Salah before Maghrib, before the sun sets. Now, quick question. Which is better, Fajr or Asr? Don't look in the book if you have the book. Fajr or Asr?
Fajr.
Fajr. Asr.
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 Better in the sense?
Well, better in the sense that's better. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله والعصر أفضل من الفجر. عصر is better than فجر. Why? Because Allah says in the Quran, وحافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى. Hey, safeguard your prayers, and that's general. Then he specified and said, and the middle prayer, which is according to the majority of the ulama, is Salatul Asr. So once Allah mentioned it in this fashion, that makes it virtuous. So the Shaykh said, لأنها الصلاة الوسطى التي قصها الله بالأمر بالمحافظة عليها بعد التعميم والفجر أفضل من العصر من وجه. So now hold on, don't feel bad. Now the Salatul الوسطى is the middle prayer. It's because it's the middle prayer which Allah specified to safeguard, after generally telling us to safeguard all prayers. However, Fajr is better than Asr in some other aspects. So that was a good, by the way, good observation right there. Alaykum salam. In other aspects, it is better. لأن الصلاة الصلاة المشهودة. لأنها الصلاة المشهودة. Because it is the salah which is ever witnessed. The salah which is witnessed. كما قال تعالى وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا in Surah Al-Isra. And the Quran of Fajr, verily the Quran of Fajr is ever witnessed. وجاء في الحديث الصحيح من صلى البردين دخل الجنة وهما الفجر والعصر. And in the narration of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, it says whoever prays the two cool prayers, برد from coolness, he shall enter Jannah, and these two prayers are Fajr and Asr. So Asr is virtuous in some area, Fajr is virtuous in the other areas. But which one is more difficult for the hypocrite? Usually the average people will pray Asr, usually, unless they're very engaged in business. And this is a time where business is, you know, running hectic, specifically at times where there was no light and electricity and they wanted to kind of finish their business before sunset, then many people may miss on the Salah because of such engagement. But nowadays it seems to be easier for the people. Fajr is the one where people are actually suffering. والله المستعان. في هذا الحديث من صفات الله إثبات أن الله يرى وقد سبق شرح هذه الصفة عند ذكر الآيات الدالة عليها وهي أربع آيات والأحاديث في هذا متواترة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فثبوتها قطعي ودلالتها قطعية. جميل. In this hadith we have of the attributes of Allah, the attribute is affirming seeing Allah, affirming the concept of seeing Allah. And we have previously explained when we dealt with the ayat which are used to prove that we will see Allah. And there are four. And the narrations which are abundant from the Prophet ﷺ. So seeing Allah is something absolute that cannot be debated or disputed. And the evidences are also absolute, they cannot be misinterpreted. Who remembers the four ayat? If you do, you're a hero. If you don't, you're a zero. Usually that's what they say. No, actually even if you don't, you're still a hero. But who can give us at least two out of the four? The ayat which we studied on proving that the believers will see Allah. In Arabic, first. Huh? Beautiful. Wujuhun yawma'idhin nadiratun ila rabbiha nadira. Faces on that day glowing, illuminating to their Lord, at their master gazing. Ila rabbiha nadira. Barakallahu feek. Next. This was Surah Al-Qiyamah. Surah Al-Qiyamah. How about Surah Al-Mutaffifin? كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون. And Shafi رحمه الله deduced that Allah, when he spoke about the kuffar, he said, no, verily on that day they shall be veiled away from Allah. Which alludes to the idea that if the disbelievers are being veiled and deprived of seeing Allah, that means that the believers are enjoying that. Right? Anything else? لا تدركه الأبصار, that sight cannot encompass him. And the fact that it cannot encompass him, in the ultimate sense, it alludes to the idea that Allah can be seen. He didn't say the sight cannot see him, he said it cannot encompass him. This is again one of the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen's deduction, rahimahullah. Again, what else? Anyone else? Huh? Naif? Your homework for next Saturday, inshallah, is to memorize all four ayat in Arabic and Urdu and English. Hold on, if you don't speak Urdu, then that other language you speak. Okay? That's homework. We have to be able to quote these, ya akhwan. I'm not going to give them to you. I will not do it. I will not. طيب. ولهذا ذهب بعض العلماء إلى أن من أنكر رؤية الله تعالى فهو كافر مرتد, وأن الواجب على كل مؤمن أن يقر بذلك. وإنما نعم. Before we continue, this is why some of the ulama went to the extent that whosoever denies seeing Allah is a kafir and an apostate. He is a disbelieving apostate. Murtad is someone who left alone Islam after being part of it. and that it is incumbent on every believer to admit, to admit and acknowledge the idea of seeing Allah. قال وإنما كفرناه لأن الأدلة قطعية الثبوت وقطعية الدلالة. And we have only declared him as a disbeliever because the evidences are definitely authentic and definitely, you know, valid in their evidence. They are valid proof. يعني they are relevant to the topic that they are addressing. ولا يمكن لأحد أن يقول إن قول الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام إنكم سترون ربكم أنه ليس قطعي الدلالة. And no one has the right to say that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily you shall see your Lord," that this is not clear in its indication, that this may wallah mean something else. إِذْ لَيْسَ هُنَاكَ شَيْءَ أَشَدْ قَطْعًا مِنْ مِثْلِ هَذَا التَّرْكِيبِ. Linguistically, there isn't anything that is clearer in its indication than this kind of sentence structure. إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ. إِن is yud adat tawkid. In and of itself, it is, it's a particle of emphasis. For example, I say, المطر سينزل. إن المطر سينزل. The rain will fall, assuming that we have some valid forecast. Then I say, verily, إن المطر, the rain shall go down. Right? And then if you read the Quran, you find that this is very often the case. That Allah Azza wa Jal begins with, إن. You could begin the sentence without it. So إن is used to emphasize. The scene also plays two roles. The affirmation of the taking place of the event and the fact that it will happen at some future time. سَأُكَلِّمُكَ غَدًا, meaning I will definitely speak to you tomorrow inshallah. Okay? So إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ. Verily you will see your Lord. No one can say, wallah, this may mean something else. What else can it mean? What else can it mean? If someone came and told you, verily, assuming, just to give you a worldly example, the boss, the CEO, who's in Riyadh is coming tomorrow to your branch of the company in Jeddah. And the boss tells you, verily, without a doubt, you're going to see the CEO tomorrow. Can someone come and say, what he really means, we're going to see his suitcase. Okay? What he really means is that we will see him on video. No. You understand from the text or in the context that the man is speaking, the guy is coming from the airport, definitely you will see him tomorrow. And if you started to misinterpret that, we'll say that you're going off track. You have no right to do so. You have to take it except according to face value and the clear meaning of the text. طيب لو كان الحديث إنكم ترون ربكم لربما تحتمل التأويل. If the wording was verily you see your Lord, without the scene, maybe it could be misinterpreted. وأنه عبر عن العلم اليقيني بالرؤية البصرية. That he tried to hint at the visual seeing with a certain knowledge. ولكنه صرح بأن نراه كما نرى القمر وهو حسي. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم further said, you will see him the same way you look at the moon, and that is sensory, that is tangible. He gave us, you know, in what sense you will see Allah. So no one will say that it is through knowledge, as we will see. وَسَبَقَ لَنَا أَنَّ أَهْلَ التَّعْطِيلِ يُؤَوِّلُونَ هَذِهِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَيُفَسِّرُونَ الرُّؤْيَةَ بِرُؤْيَةِ الْعِلْمِ وَسَبَقَ بُطْلَانِ قَوْلِهِمْ. And we have previously explained that the people of Ta'til, the people of denial, they interpret these narrations and they say that vision means knowledge. And we have already explained the invalidity of this claim. They say that, you know, what is intended, that you will see Allah, meaning you will have perfect knowledge of Allah. That which you don't know about Allah now, you will come to know about it, you know, on the Day of Judgment. But they say that it does not mean that you will see Allah. But the Prophet ﷺ said, verily, without a doubt, you shall soon see your Lord. The same way you look at the moon, the same way you see the moon, and you feel no harm, no hardship in looking at the moon on a full night. And people still after that, they come and say, no, this is not what it means. Allah al-Musta'an. قوله إلى أمثال هذه الأحاديث إلى آخره. يعني انظر إلى أمثال هذه الأحاديث التي يخبر بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربه فما كان مثلها ثبوتا ودلالة فحكمه حكمها. Look at other narrations similar to that from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us about his Lord. And whatever is similar to this one in its indication and its proof, then the ruling is the same as well. Whatever hadith you read which explains something about Allah Azza wa Jal and it is straightforward, then we accept it again as being straightforward and the ruling is the same. This shall take place as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had promised. قَوْلُهُ الْفِرْقَةُ النَّاجِيَةُ. Have you heard this term before? Looks like your brothers are sleepy today. Wake up, ya jama'ah. Have you heard this term before? Al-firqa al-najiyah. No. Aha. These are synonymous terms. Al-firqa al-najiyah, hiya al-ta'ifa al-mansura, wa hiya ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. Right or wrong? They are all the same. They are all the same. The people who follow the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and Atba'a Tabi'een. That's the only Islam that there is. Now, in fact, today we have many other Islams according to the people. We have many other new interpretations of Islam. Modern interpretations like the modernists today, that they have a whole new Islam. And different groups today exist on the saha, on the, you know, in the, out there in the fields, in the Islamic fields, with different approaches to Islam. You got, you know, we mentioned you got the Sufis, and you get some of the jama'at involved in, you know, different jama'at, whether it is Ikhwan al-Muslimin, or whether it is jama'at al-Tabliq, or you have the Salafiyin, and we have the Ahli Hadith, and we have, you know, the list goes on. Now all these names, are first questionable. Having a name is a problem in and of itself. Furthermore, when we speak about the Muslims adhering to the truth, that does not fall under a group. That falls under an understanding and a methodology. There's the manhaj of the Salaf, and there's al-hizb al-salafi. There's the methodology of the righteous predecessors, and then there's the Salafi sect, which are today a sect like every other sect that speak on behalf of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They as they call them, they have manhaj police. Anyone they don't like, anyone, for any mistake, at any point in time, even if it's 20 years ago, they don't like him, he's off the manhaj. And they have websites, special dedicated websites, to cross this person off the list of the people of Sunnah. He's a mubtadi', dal, mudil. They could give him names that you don't even give to a kafir. It's given to a Muslim who maybe is, you know, dedicating his whole life for da'wah. Why? Wallah, he said something 15 years ago, and we gave him nasiha, but he didn't like the nasiha, khalas. Brother, you're off the manhaj. And similarly, different people come with the same kind of, you know, the same kind of outfit, and they play the same kind of role. They think they have the right to say who's going to Jannah, who's not, who's on the manhaj and who's not, who's on the way of the Salaf and who's not. No, that's not how it works. The way of the Salaf is not to be hijacked by one group who speak on its behalf. It's people going all the way from the Sahaba until the Day of Judgment. Anyone who adheres to the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the rightly guided Khulafa and those who came after them is a Salafi, in a sense that he follows the way of the Salaf. It doesn't mean that he belongs to the Salafi sect. Because you could belong to the Salafi sect or Ahli Hadith and have nothing to do with the Hadith and nothing to do with the Salaf. And you could be on the way of Ahl al-Hadith and the way of the Salaf, but you don't belong to the group. You understand what I'm saying? So they're not necessarily, you know, one and the same. I'm saying this because, you know, today we have a lot of confusion. People are confused. Okay, where do I go? Jama'at Tabligh? Do I go Jama'at Tabligh? Do I go with, you know, the Diobandis or what in India, Balvari, whatever these other guys called? Where do I go? You know, this is a major problem. Say, akhi, you go with the Quran and the Sunnah and the rightly guided, righteous predecessors and their understanding of the deen. Alhamdulillah, the ulama which propagate and adhere to this teaching are available and known. Stay away though from joining a group stay away from belonging to a group whose main job and business is to boycott and belittle and undermine the Muslims all over the world. Some are doing it, you know, with justice. We must admit, some people must be warned against. Some people are deviant. Some people you have to inform the Muslims about. And some people, you know, may make mistakes. And everybody makes mistakes. And these are the ones that there must be wisdom in how we deal with them, especially if they love the Sunnah also and they teach it to the people. Okay? So I'm just, you know, sharing this with you. Of course, there will be a special lecture, inshallah, dedicated to this topic. And we will deal with this, inshallah, in detail. So everyone will be upon clarity. And probably after I deliver that lecture, inshallah, if I remain alive, things will never be the same for me. You will see my name in many different places as among those who you should not take knowledge from. But inshallah, we'll wait until then. على كل حال Alhamdulillah, the Sunnah is more beloved to us, and this was the position of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi, and we love him for the sake of Allah. Al-Firqa al-Najiya, al-Firqa ayat-Taif. Anyways, the Firqa al-Najiya is the saved group. The saved group. Al-Najiya al-Lati najat fi al-Dunya min al-Bid'a wa fi al-Akhirati min al-Nar. They call the Najiya because Najat. Najat is actually to be saved. For example, if there is a fire and you know somebody saves you, then you have basically been given Najat from burning in the fire. Okay, from the fire at a house, let's say there was a fire. So they are called the Firqa Najiya because they have been saved from Bid'ah in this dunya, and they are saved from the fire in the life to come. Beautiful, beautiful. They're saved from innovation in the dunya. They don't entertain innovations. They don't entertain them at all. At all, never. And they're saved from the fire and the life to come because they will not enter Jahannam. The saved sect will not enter Jahannam, inshaAllah. Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. The people of Sunnah and the Jama'ah. أي الذين أخذوا بالسنة واجتمعوا عليها. Meaning those who accepted the Sunnah and they all gathered around it. They all agreed on it. That's why they call Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Sunnah, Ahl Sunnah, the people of Sunnah. Jama'ah, group, meaning they were a group around the Sunnah. They formed a group around the Sunnah. Unlike who? Shia. And it's amazing. They're called Shia, and Shia means a sect, a hizb. Kanu Shia, right? As it comes in the Quran. So the term in and of itself indicates that they're already, you know, they're not really on the mainstream. They're already off the path. Their name already tells you the whole thing. And the same thing with the rest of the titles. يؤمنون بذلك أي بما أخبر به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. They believe. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe, meaning they believe in that which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had told us. كما يؤمنون بما أخبر الله به في كتابه. The same way they believe in what Allah had told us in His book about everything we have learned together in terms of Allah's names and attributes. لِأَنَّ مَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نُؤْمِنَ بِهِ كَمَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نُؤْمِنَ بِمَا أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ. Because believing in what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had explained to us in the Sunnah is obligatory on us the same way it is obligatory on us to believe in what Allah said in the book. In the Quran, they're the same thing. Some people think that, you know, there's Quran, Sunnah, then, you know, something else. But the truth is what? There's Quran, Sunnah, then for example the Ijma' of the Sahaba, then we have Qiyas and whatever. But Quran and Sunnah are what? They're together on the same line. There's no superiority for one over the other. We said the only issue we have is that in the Sunnah we have one extra step to take, which is what? Verification of authenticity. We just have to verify if it's sahih. Otherwise, once it's sahih, a hadith of Bukhari is like an ayah in the book of Allah. And no one can say, wallah, this is better than that. Or we give precedence to this one over that one. No. This is incorrect. They're both equal in their indication and their proof, their value as proof. If the hadith has been proven to be authentic. إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يَخْتَلِفُ عَنِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي الثُّبُوتِ كَمَا ذَكَرْتُ آنِفًا فَإِنَّ لَنَا نَظَرَيْنِ بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِمَا جَاءَتْ بِهِ السُّنَّةِ. Then we have two things we have to do when in concerning that which came from the sunnah. النظر الأول في ثبوتي, first its authenticity, والنظر الثاني في دلالته, its proof for the matter. Is this hadith proof for the matter we are discussing? For example, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, you know, من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. Whosoever resembles a group of people, then he is one of them. Now we have this hadith can actually apply on hundreds of issues in Islam. Now, for us to say that we can apply this hadith, we need the scholars to say and see, does this hadith apply on someone wearing, you know, a particular kind of clothing that is worn by the kuffar? Does tashabbuh here include the dress code? If it is the case and it is the proof for the matter, then the hadith becomes equal to the Quran, and you cannot wear something that the kuffar are known for wearing. Okay, this is what is intended here. أما ما في القرآن فلنا نظر واحد وهو النظر في الدلالة. As for the Quran, we have one observation to make, which is whether it is proof for the matter or not. As for authenticity, this is a done deal. وقد سبق لنا بيان الأدلة الدالة على وجوب قبول ما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we have already explained the evidences of why we are obliged to believe in what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had said. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله من غير تحريف ولا تعطيل ومن غير تكييف ولا تمثيل سبق شرح هذا. من غير تحريف, what is تحريف? Raise your hand. تحريف يا جماعة الخير. I'll leave. تحريف النهاية. How do you do تحريف to an ayah? How do you do تحريف to a hadith? Distorting the meaning. Barakallahu fik. تحريف is distortion. من غير تحريف. I was about to say, الله خير, and you saved me from it. Without distortion, how does that happen? They say that the ayah doesn't mean that. The ayah does not, they distort the meaning, they give it another meaning other than the one that is intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah says, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And the face of your Lord, full of majesty and honor, will ever remain. They say it doesn't mean Allah's face, it means, you know, Allah's glory. It means something. This is tahrif. The ayah doesn't say that. The ayah says, وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ, the face of your Lord. It doesn't say anything else. Allah could have used other words to indicate the meaning you're claiming. We're saying this to the people of distortion. So there's distortion. وَلَا تَعْطِيلُ. What is تَعْطِيلُ? We said, سَيَّارَةٌ مُعَطَّلَةٌ وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٌ إِنَّ قُرْآنٌ. Mu'attal is to kind of make it ineffective, to invalidate the effectiveness of something, which is basically denying it. Say, no, it's no, it doesn't mean that. It's not that. This is incorrect. This is not a proof. This is not an evidence. They deny it. They say, no, Allah doesn't have names and attributes. We will see right now. We will see the crazy Mu'tazilites, Ash'arites, and Jahmites. And you see some of the crazy philosophical approaches to the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah yahdihum. وَمَنْ غَيْرِ تَكِيف. What is تَكِيف? يَا جَمَعَةُ الْخَيْرِ. تَكِيف. Not مُكَيِّف. I know you're hot. تَكِيف meaning to get some air, which is, I'm about to take this off. Yes. تَكِيف. كَيْف. كَيْفَ حَالُك. Don't look at me. Answer me, يا شيخ. What does كَيْفَ حَالُك mean? How are you? But تَكِيف. Without saying how. Right? And we said we give it howness. It's not really an English word, by the way. But you, in English, you can usually add a hyphen to make words that don't exist. Sometimes. Or according to me at least. H-O-W hyphen N-E-S-S howness. Meaning the manner. With the other word we were using is the manner. How? Allahu A'lam. We don't say how. How did Allah rise above, if somebody says, how did Allah rise above a throne? We say, this is an innovative question, Habibi. Don't ask how. Allahu A'lam how. How does Allah, how is Allah's face? Allahu A'lam. How is Allah's hand? Allahu A'lam. Every time they say how, we say Allahu A'lam and don't ask anymore. That's a bid'ah. وَلَا تَمْثِيل. تَمْثِيل. طيب. good, close, other word in English?
Likening.
Without likening or resembling. Hey, likening, resemble. We must memorize this. Tahrif, distortion. Ta'til, denial. Takyif, the manner or the how, the howness. And tamthil, likening or resemblance. Meaning Allah is like that. And then they think of a human being. This is what makes Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah unique. Now, believe it or not, we have covered, mashallah, tabarakallah, 286 pages of this book. By Allah's grace and mercy, for those of you who missed 90% of them, I'm so sorry. But I give you good news, we have them all recorded on MP3. If you wish, you can get the, I can burn a CD for you free of charge, on the condition that you listen to all of them. Or you pay 3 riyals and you don't have to actually listen. I want you to take it for free and listen to it. Now, we are reaching now a chapter. The book was in the following sequence. Al-Sunnah, Al-Qur'an, when we dealt with all of the ayat, which dealt with Allah's names and attributes from the Qur'an. Then we moved on to what? The same teachings from the Sunnah. Now, Faslun, chapter, a new chapter. مكانة أهل السنة والجماعة بين فرق الأمة واتصافهم بالوسطية. الله أكبر. The stance, the status, the state, all of these may be acceptable of أهل السنة والجماعة between the various sects of the Ummah and how we are described with balance. وسطية, having a balanced position, being in the middle, in between, not going to either extreme. قال المؤلف رحمه الله بل هم الوسط في فرق الأمة كما أن الأمة هي الوسط في الأمم. أهل السنة والجماعة are in a balanced position in comparison to the sects in the Ummah, the same way Islam is in the balanced position in comparison to the other Ummah, the other nations. You get it? Yeah, Islam, in comparison to Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Ism, right? Atheism, ila akhiri. We are what? We are in a balanced position. Now this is Islam. Now within Islam, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are also in the middle. They are in the balanced position in comparison to the rest of the Ummah. Al-Ummah هي الوسط بين الأمم. يعني الأمم السابقة وذلك من عدة وجوه. Meaning we are in a balanced position in comparison to the previous nations for a number of reasons. Number one, this is very beautiful. Please pay attention, don't fall asleep. فبحق الله تعالى كانت اليهود تصف الله تعالى بالنقائص فتلحقه بالمخلوق. The Jews, in concerning Allah's right, why we are in the middle, the Muslims compared to the rest of the religions. The Jews used to describe Allah with qualities of deficiency. And they would actually make Allah like a human being. Who can give me any evidence from the Quran or the Bible and I will give you nothing? Inshallah, I promise. But you may get reward from Allah. Any evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah about the Jews accusing Allah of being deficient? Quran or the Bible? Tafadhal.
I'm not sure the Arabic.
Who knows the Arabic first? Go ahead.
Allah is giving an ayah about Allah being stingy.
طيب. وقالت اليهود يد الله مغلولة غلت أيديهم. The Jews say Allah's hand is tight. It's closed. Meaning Allah doesn't spend. Allah made dua against them. غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. No, their hands are actually the ones tight. بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْزُوطَتَانِ. Nay, but both of his hands are stretched out. And there's a joke, you know, now this is. Allah made a dua against them that they shall ever be stingy. And in other countries, like in the Western countries, you know what the joke is? You know how you can kill a Jew? You throw a penny outside the car. If you want to kill a Jewish person, if you're driving down the street, you have a penny, which is equal to a halala, throw it outside the car, a Jew will probably jump out of his car and try to get the penny, and he will die in the process. That's how you kill a Jew. Because they know to be the most stingy people. But they have no problem spending in Hollywood. So you and I and our children can go astray. They have no problem creating movies and stories and fiction in order for the Muslims to be deviated. And they bring them to our movie theaters in our home countries. And we think we're having a good old time and we go and watch, you know, Jurassic Park. Or one of the other movies which they have, full of magic, full of lies, you know. Or what was the movie they had about the, you know, the Arabs? What was the one about Fir'aun? Remember that movie where Fir'aun was alive and he was killing people and there was roaches. The one that went on an expedition, the mummy. Right. Alhamdulillah, I haven't seen movies in a long time, but I remember this from back in the day. You know, crazy stuff, man. Shirk, kufr, and Muslims. Oh, what a wonderful movie. But you're watching Fir'aun, man. You're watching someone magnifying Fir'aun and showing you, you know, it's a fitna. It's haram. It's haram. This is the enemy of Allah. The taghut, the lowlife bastard, Fir'aun. We come and make a movie about him, how he was, you know, this and how he was that. This is nonsense. But that's what they do. In where? Hollywood, Disneyland. It's all the same. The Jews spend their money there. They spend it there, but they don't spend it elsewhere. They spend it only to misguide the other nations so they can take over the world. And that's the Zionist movement. They run this world currently. But their time shall come, inshallah, where the Hajar will say, "Ya Muslim, oh Muslim, behind me there's a Jew. Come and chop his head off." And this day will come, inshallah ta'ala. I hope you will be those who plant the seed, and the children that will come, inshallah, who will be among those who will actually do that, inshallah ta'ala. Tayyib, in the Bible, now that we gave us the Quran, and they said, "Inna Allah faqirun wa nahnu aghniya." The Jews also said in the Quran, "Verily Allah is poor and we are rich." Why? Because Allah had mentioned qardan hasanan. May yuqrid Allah qardan hasanan. Who will give Allah a good loan? And they said, "Oh Muhammad, your God, your Lord is asking for a loan from us. That means that we are rich and Allah is poor." Crazy Jews. In the Bible, Genesis, if I'm correct, wallahi, I hope I'm correct. Genesis chapter 3 verse 3, it says, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then He rested on the seventh and was rejuvenated. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to take a rest from what? Creating the heavens and the earth. What does Allah say in the Quran in refutation to that? وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. This is a refutation to the Bible, by the way. It's amazing. And verily we have created the heavens and the earth and what is between them in 6 days, and no fatigue touched us. The Jews, according in the Old Testament, it mentions that Allah Azza wa Jal, after Adam sinned, Adam and Eve went hiding. And it says that Allah was walking in the garden of Jannah looking for Adam in the Bible. Adam, where are you? And we know, is this something Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't know? Subhanallah al-Azim. The Jews say that Allah repented. He had intended to do evil to the Jews, then He repented from ever doing evil to the Jews. This is in the Old Testament. So you find in the Old Testament that Allah is given all kinds of deficient qualities. In fact, it says that that Allah wrestled with one of the prophets. I don't remember his name. Dawood. Was it Dawood?
I think it was
Jacob. Jacob, right? Yeah, Jacob. And Jacob defeated him. It's crazy stuff. He wrestled and the prophet came up victorious. And so, you know, God blessed him afterwards. So this is the Jewish approach. Now we will see the Christian one. طيب. وَكَانَتِ النَّصَارَى تُلْحِقُ الْمَخْلُوقَ النَّاقِسْ بِالرَّبِّ الْكَامِلِ أما هذه الأمة فلم تصف الرب النقائص ولم تلحقه بالمخلوق به. And the Christians used to give the deficient creation the attributes of perfection which belong to Allah alone. So they said that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. So look at the opposite extremes. As for this ummah, we neither described Allah with deficiencies, nor did we give any human being divine attributes. Except some of the hardcore Sufis who believe that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ possesses all of the qualities of Allah. And they call him the perfect creation, the perfect human, الرجل الكامل. And what they mean by that in Sufi definition, الرجل الكامل is the man who possesses all of the attributes of Allah. And you know that al-Burda, al-Qasida al-Burda al-Bosri, or Boisri, however they say his name, he said, وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. He said about the Prophet ﷺ, and part of your knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved tablet and the pen. مِنْ عُلُومِكَ. The knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, the preserved tablet and the pen, they said this is part of the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Which means he knows the present, the past, because the Lawh al-Mahfuz, what does it have? Everything, ya Shaykh. The first thing Allah created was what? The pen. He said to it, write. What shall I write? And he wrote everything. It's in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. They said, this knowledge is part of the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shirk. But you know, you go to a mawlid and see them singing this qasida with compassion and love. So this is what the Sufis are about. Just so you will know, this is in continuation of our lecture actually. طيب. جميل. وفي حق الأنبياء كذبت اليهود عيسى بن مريم وكفرت به وغلت النصارى فيه حتى جعلته إلها. أما هذه الأمة فآمنت به بدون غلو وقالت هو عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. As for the part, now this is a beautiful breakdown, brothers. First, if you want to, you know the way you would put them in your notebook. First, in concerning Allah's rights. Concerning Allah's rights, we said the Jews deviated by describing Allah as being deficient. The Christians, by giving the human beings the quality of Allah. Now concerning the prophets, the Jews belied Jesus, the son of Mary, and they disbelieved in him. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Did the Jews believe in Jesus? Then the disciples are what? The disciples are Jews or not? Yes? So? Like your brothers are confused now. Hey, the Jews as the whole thing, they disbelieved. The minority which believed in him are his disciples, which were Jews as well. But the Jews as a whole, as a nation, they didn't accept Jesus. Otherwise there would be no Jews. In this sense, they would have all become among the followers of Isa. They're still called Yahud because, you know, of Bani Israel. They will still be called Bani Israel because Jesus was a Jew. But the Jews in that time, they didn't. They tried to crucify him. We know this from the Quran and the Sunnah and even history. Tayyib. Whereas the Christians, what did they do with Jesus? They exaggerated concerning him until they made him a god. They made him a god. As for this ummah, we believed in him without any exaggeration, and we said he is the slave of Allah and his messenger. Huwa abdullahi wa rasuluhu. He's the slave of Allah and his messenger. Now, okay, concerning Allah's rights, concerning the rights of the prophets, now concerning ibadat. What is ibadat, ya jama'ah? Acts of worship. Ibadat, acts of worship. النصارى يدينون لله عز وجل بعدم الطهارة. Christians, their religion is that there's no such thing as purity. Purification does not exist on the list. You don't find a Christian making wudu before he goes to church. Nor does he take a bath. In fact, one of them, أعوذ بالله, will go urinate. And you know, he will still have urine on his underwear and everywhere else. And he will go to church and he will, you know, bow down and he will do all of his ibadah. He could care less. You could pour some urine on him and he would not think that this is najasa that he would have to clean. Some of them take their dogs with them as well, and the dog will lick them and they will, you know, pee on them, all kinds of nasty stuff. And this is no problem. No problem for the Christians. Everything goes. His wife, whether she's on menstrual cycle or not, whatever the case, everything goes all the time. No tahara in their religion. Filthy. And they eat a pig. That tells you plenty. بمعنى أنهم لا يتطهرون من الخبث. They don't purify themselves from filth. يبول الواحد منهم ويصيب البول ثيابه ويقوم يصلي في الكنيسة. The sheikh said one of them will urinate and his, you know, urine will come on his clothes and he will go pray in the church. Now the Jews are the opposite. واليهود بالعكس. The Yahud are in the opposite on, and they are in contrast with them. إذا أصابتهم النجاسة فإنهم يقردونها من الثوب. الحمد لله for Islam. If a Jewish man had his thawb contaminated or you know, with some urine, the only way it will work, he would have to cut that piece out. Yani if somebody, for example, imagine if something came here, I will have to get a scissor and cut that piece out. Washing it doesn't purify it for them. Washing it doesn't purify, you have to cut it out. So I wonder what kind of clothes they wear. You know, everything has this, you know, patches and holes in them. They have to take it out, the whole thing. فلا يطهرها الماء عندهم. Water does not purify it according to them. حتى إنهم يبتعدون عن الحائض لا يأكلونها ولا يجتمعون بها. So much so that their menstruating wife, their menstruating woman, they stay away from her. They keep her in the attic or they keep her in the basement. They do not even sit down and eat with her, nor do they meet with her. To them, a woman in a state of menstruation is a woman that you avoid strictly. But the Prophet ﷺ taught us that you do everything with your wife during menstruation except intercourse. Hugging, kissing, anything else, it's fine. And he used to do that, عليه الصلاة والسلام, just to go against the Jews. عليهم لعنة الله. أما هذه الأمة فهم وصل. This ummah, we are again in a balanced position. فيقولون لا هذا ولا هذا. We neither say, we neither this nor that. لا يشق الثوب ولا يصلي بالنجاسة. Neither do we cut out that part that was, you know, that had filth on it or urine, nor do we go pray in the state of نجاسة. بل يغسل غسلا حتى تزول النجاسة منه. But you wash it so that نجاسة is removed. ويصلي به. Then you pray in it. ولا يبتعدون عن الحائض. We don't avoid the menstruating woman in the ultimate sense. بل يأكلونها ويباشرها زوجها في غير الجماع. Rather you eat with her and you even, you know, you get intimate with her but without intercourse. This is the thing that is to be avoided. وكذلك في باب المحرمات من المآكل والمشارب. Similarly, in terms of the issues of forbidden, the things which are forbidden and impermissible concerning eating and drinking, or concerning food and beverages. النصارى استحلوا الخبائث وجميع المحرمات. The Christians, everything is halal for them. Everything is halal for them. There's nothing that is, you know, they don't have a halal haram anyways, you know, list. Everything is halal. And in some of the, you know, the Chinese, they eat cockroaches, worms, you know, abhorrent, you know, stuff that, you know, you wouldn't eat even if somebody gave you a million riyals. But this is to them a delicacy. This is a very special, you know, meal that they have in special occasions. Be careful of ever eating a cockroach without knowing that it's a cockroach. That happened to someone I know when he was young. He thought it was a French fry, right? And he picked it out and he ate it. That wasn't the best day of his life. طيب واليهود حرم واليهود حرم حرم عليهم كل ذي ظفر. And the Jews, it was made forbidden upon them every animal with undivided hoof. كما قال تعالى وعلى الذين هادوا حرمنا كل ذي ظفر ومن البقر والغنم حرمنا عليهم شحومهما إلا ما حمل ظهورهما أو الحوايا أو ما اختلط بعظم ذلك جزيناهم ببغيهم وإنا لصادقون. As for the Jews, we made forbidden upon them every animal with undivided hoof, and the ox and the sheep, and we made forbidden upon them its fat, except that which is in their backs and that which is contained in their entrails and whatever mixes with bones. This we recompense them because of their rebellion, and verily we are truthful. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. أَمَّا هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ فَهُمْ وَسَطْ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتُ وَحُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. As for this ummah, we are in a balanced position. Everything which is good was made lawful for us, and everything which is bad was made forbidden for us. وفي القصاص, in the law of retaliation or the law of equality, القصاص فرض على اليهود. For the Jews, they must do قصاص. You know, if someone killed someone, then the other person must be killed. والتسامح عن القصاص فرض على النصارى. In Christianity, you know, letting go is obligatory, as they say. You know, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, then you turn the other cheek. They don't do this in real life. We wish they did. Otherwise, I'd be slapping them around all day. You know, okay, now give me the other cheek now. Okay, now back to the other cheek. But they don't let you slap them once, let alone give you the other cheek. So they claim claims that they don't live up to. أما هذه الأمة فهم فهي مخيرة بين القصاص والدية والعفو مجانا. This ummah has been given the choice between actual qisas or diya, blood money, or simply pardoning the person for the sake of Allah, if the situation allows it. فكانت الأمة الإسلامية وسطا بين الأمم بين الغلو والتقصير. So the Islamic Ummah is in a balanced position between the other nations concerning exaggeration and negligence. فأهل السنة والجماعة بين فرق الأمة كالأمة بين الديانات الأخرى. Then أهل السنة والجماعة, in comparison to the other groups, is like the Ummah of Islam in comparison to other religions. أنهم وسط, they are in a balanced position. ثم ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله أصولا خمسة كان أهل السنة والجماعة فيها وسطا بين فرق الأمة. Then Shaykh al-Islam رحمه الله mentioned five fundamental principles that make أهل السنة والجماعة the middle, in a balanced position in comparison to the rest of the Ummah. And this is a very, very crucial and valuable part of the book. If you want to have a clear understanding as to where we stand in concerning our belief, where are the people who have deviated, who they are, and why they have deviated, then the next few pages will bring the, you know, inshallah, the greatest clarity to the issue. So you will know what you need to believe and what you need to avoid, so you will not deviate. And if you come across some deviant thoughts, you will know where to label them. Oh, these are Jabariyah. Oh, these are Qadariyah. These are Jahmiyah. Very important. So inshallah ta'ala, we will continue this next week. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.